Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On May 23rd...
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Tuesday, July 11th, 2023. I am Dave Biddle, very happy joined by the two-man dream team of Bill Curlick and Mark Porter. Bill Curlick, the dean of Ohio State football recruiting. Mark Porter, the grand poobah of scouting Ohio. Absolutely love these guys. Dan Rubin has the day off. I am filling in for him. All right, I posted a thread to the Front Row message board. Bucknut subscribers have some recruiting questions for you gentlemen. Let's start right with Osborne Elo wants to know, or Osborne Low, I think it is. Osborne Low. Guys, is there any update on Dylan Stewart? The South Carolina insiders seem very confident he ends up there. Any update, guys?
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and start, and then we'll let the grand poobah there join in. I like that, the grand poobah. Very fitting. But it's like an
80s rap reference, really.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect. Like you now.
About right to me.
There you go. I might as well be the cool modi of scouting. I don't know.
That's even better.
There you go.
All right. As far as Dylan Stewart, obviously he is a huge Ohio State target, and for that matter, South Carolina target. And as the question stated, there's confidence on both sides. There's been confidence on the Ohio State side since he left Ohio State. That visit went extremely well. And there's been definitely a lot of confidence there on the Ohio State side. But he subsequently had a visit to South Carolina, and that's for various reasons created, a controversy, or I shouldn't say controversy, I say confidence on their side of things. He has not yet announced a date to announce, so to speak. He hasn't said exactly when he's going to announce his college choice, so the speculation continues to go on. But both schools feel that they are very much in the running to get him. So that's kind of where it is right now. Waiting on what will likely be the next thing is for him to say when he's going to announce, and then, of course, make his announcement.
And, Mark, with some of these out-of-state guys, if you just want Bill to answer them, that's fine. If you want to jump in, that's cool. Whatever you want to do, Grand Poobah. The next question is from D-Row 27.
I actually put on Dylan Stewart behind me just to kind of refresh, but he's the kid that's playing linebacker in high school that's got the defensive end build. We've been talking about Lightfoot and Rudolph forever. He's very similar, but he's got more of a versatile background, having played linebacker. Rudolph and Lightfoot are definitely edge players. Even if they're outside linebackers, they're growing a defensive end. Stewart's got a little more versatility to his game.
Next question is from D-Row 27. He says, I heard Lightfoot is now wanting to visit in the fall. Any truth to that? And if so, does the staff let him? Obviously, Lightfoot is committed to Miami. Both of you, what do you think about that?
I saw the same thing you did on the boards where, now there's the controversy. Did he get money from Miami? Is he going to give it back if he wants to flip? I don't get into the rumors as much. I'm kind of waiting for Bill here to probably give me the cement answer. But I found that real interesting where you sign, and then it sounds like you're not happy with where you signed, because, like, my thing is, once you sign, you're done. Not a few days later, the cold feet. So maybe that's good for Ohio State.
What do you think, Bill?
Well, I always go by what I am told directly by the recruit, and he has not told me that, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I said as soon as he announced the commitment to Miami that this one may not necessarily be over, because there was some back and forth even the day that he announced. On that morning, I was told that Lightfoot was going to Miami, so I kind of got prepared for that. By the afternoon, I was told, well, as Lee Corso likes to say, not so fast, my friends, necessarily, that there might be some rethinking there, and that he was going to kind of meet with the people in his circle to really clarify things and decide if the announcement was going to go on at all. The announcement did go on. He did announce for Miami, but just the fact that Ohio State really has wanted Marquise Lightfoot, and the fact that there was some hesitation there, I guess you'd say, made me think, well, I could see Ohio State continuing to recruit him. So, we'll see what happens. Will he end up visiting Ohio State again? He has not told me that, but it would not shock me either necessarily. We'll see what happens. These are commitments. They're not necessarily done deals. They aren't done deals, so to speak, in a lot of cases. They can't sign until December. So there could be recruiting, and in a lot of cases, there continues to be recruiting going on.
So next question is not about recruiting, but I like it. I'm going to hit it. It's from Mike Hauser. We'll go around the horn. We'll all answer this one. Mike Hauser says, a lot of people are talking about the running back duo up north, talking about Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, obviously. But he says, I truly feel that Henderson being healthy and Mayan Williams being healthy and having some big-time motivation, he thinks they will actually have a better year than the two guys from up north. I'll go first on this one. Blake Corum, I would rank them Corum 1 and then Henderson 2, Mayan 3, and then Edwards 4. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on Edwards there, but Corum's made me a believer. So I'm not going to just come out here and say that Henderson and Mayan are a better tandem, because I think Corum, he turned my head last year. I know I'm not alone there. I just think he's the real deal. Not that I don't like the Ohio State backs, but the Ohio State's deeper, though. They go 5 deep. But as far as the top two, I'd probably take Corum and Donovan Edwards if you put a gun to my head. Who would you guys take?
When I was at the Michigan camp this year for the high school kids, Michigan's practice was conveniently right after the camp was over. So all the Michigan players started filing out. When Blake Corum came out, he was signing autographs, and I didn't know who he was by just looking at his face and standing there. He's a bowling ball. His legs and his butt were like a double, triple take. Like, wow. Like, how do you wrap yourself around that kid to bring him down? And you start putting the two to two together with, like, I know what I saw in film, and I know why guys are dripping off of him now. So when you said he was your first pick there, I was like, well, Dave's seen him in person. He's seen him on the field. He knows what he looks like. He knows the power he has. He might be the best all-around guy because he has some versatility, but I think Henderson's your most explosive player. I don't know how he'll transfer into the NFL or how they'll view him, but boy, if you gave me a player that, on any play could turn your lights out and go to distance, that's the guy that when he puts his foot in the ground, I don't know how you evaluate or rate that, because they're a little different. They're definitely different types of backs, but boy, that's a good question by the poster, who will have the better year. I think the reason Michigan guys had such a great year was their motivation the past couple of years of being dogged for so long. I think Ohio State's in that position now, where the two running backs with the motivation being hurt, having lost to Michigan. Yeah, that's like a contract year in the NFL for a running back, where these guys know everything's at stake. If I don't put up this year, my NFL stock goes down, and, of course, the other things we talked about. So I give the edge to those two for motivational.
And I would agree with a whole lot of what Mark just said there. One thing that I want to add, though, is that when you're talking about what kind of year they're going to have, you got to look at the offensive line. And, you know, Ohio State offensive line right now is a little bit of a question mark. They lost some great players. They lost Paris Johnson and DeJuan Jones, for instance. Browns fans out there are hoping DeJuan Jones turns into the real deal at the NFL level, but that's another topic. But, you know, a running back is dependent on the offensive line, and that'll be a big factor in how good a year those guys have. But I agree with Mark, potentially Henderson, he's just tremendous. He can hit a home run at any point. And, you know, but production wise from a year ago, you know, you go with Blake Corum. So, you know, there's a lot of factors there that I think it's pretty tough to say who's going to have the better year right now.
All right, back to recruiting. The first one for Bill and the second one for Mark and Bill. This is from Fox R 2001. For Bill, if we don't land any of the defensive ends we're after, does the staff try and flip Rudolph?
You know, that's a great question. Yeah, I would say that I would be very surprised if they don't land any of the defensive ends they're after. If they were to miss out on Edrick Houston, Dillard Stewart, and, you know, I'll put Lightfoot in there too, because, again, I'm not necessarily convinced that that recruitment is over. So, you know, those three guys, I think the chances are good that they're going to land at least one of them. But even if they land at least – even if they land one, that's not all they're going for. They want at least two in this class. And would they try to flip Rudolph? I tend to have my doubts a little bit on that one right now. But a lot might depend on what Rudolph does his senior season. And – you know, there's been a lot of talk about him being back in Ohio, and that's looked pretty good for him to be back in Ohio and playing for Taft. That's been, looked pretty good overall, and we'll see where, you know, where that goes. Does he end up playing for Taft his senior season? And that could be a factor too. But right now I'd kind of say no, that I think Rudolph ends up staying with the Michigan class.
Just the schadenfreude would be great, you know, flipping a Michigan recruit to Ohio State. But yeah. Doesn't sound like it's going to happen from what the Dean just illustrated there. All right, this is for Mark and Bill. We'll start with Mark. Mark, was Lightfoot really that much better than Rudolph that we should not have gone after Rudolph harder? When I recall both of you saying it was more like 1A and 1B between the two. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I think if you went back to our other podcast, I would have said something very similar to they're playing in the same ballpark. You know, like Justin Scott, Rudolph, and Hightower, different ballparks, different types of players. But if I think I said this, if you had Rudolph and Lightfoot switch teams on a Friday night and switch uniforms and go play on different teams, maybe the only people that would know it is the parents, just based on their mannerisms and the way they walk around in their uniforms. Most football people wouldn't say that looks like a totally different human being lined up in that spot and he's playing totally different. They're both long edge guys that need the weight room to put on weight, but they have the jets in their shoes to come off the edge. Like we said, we just said Stewart's a little different. Houston's the one that may have a little more weight to him, maybe the one that moves inside. So he might be in a different ballpark. But the Houston Rudolph things were very similar. It seemed like Hightower had a little more polish to him. But, you know, that's par for the course for high school players. That's just a little more reps and, you know, maybe the coaching or something. So very similar.
Next question is from Buckeye 37642. Bill, did you have any heads up about the Justin Scott commitment? How blinded were you?
Well, if you would have asked me a week before that happened, then I would have said I'd been very blinded. I did not see that coming a week before it happened. But if you remember back the week or so before that happened, I had talked about this one's going to come down to a Midwest battle. I said it's going to be Ohio State, Michigan, or maybe Notre Dame. I said that if he waited things out and made an official visit to Notre Dame when Ohio State plays them this season, and that's what Notre Dame was wanting and is still hoping for. I don't think it's going to happen, but they're still hoping for it. If he did that, then I could see it as a three-team battle. if he decided, I said, sooner rather than later, then he was going to end up at either Ohio State or Michigan. I did not think he would decide that quickly. But as the weekend came, I started hearing some vibes that, hey, this could happen like really, really soon. So I got ready for it to happen, and I was ready for it to happen that evening. I think it was like 7 o'clock, if I remember right, something around 7 or 8 o'clock that he announced he was committed to Ohio State. But again, a week before, no, I didn't think it was going to happen at all that quickly. But as it came upon us, you know, I was kind of ready. Well, I was ready for it, and it was good news for Ohio State, and certainly, well, great news, I might add.
What great news might be coming down the pike? This is the second part of the question from Buckeye 37642. He says, for both of you, who do you think will be the next few to commit to Ohio State? Mark, you have any thoughts? I know you guys probably don't like questions like that, but do you have a feel like who's going to be the next few guys to commit?
You know what? That's not my area, but I think Aaron Scott's going to be a Buckeye. I'm just reading what I'm reading and putting the tea leaves together, but that's all that is. You know, like he hasn't whispered in my ear, or I haven't had a coach whisper in my ear that, you know, this is what's happening. But the common sense is there.
Bill, who's going to be our next? Look in your crystal ball. Who's going to be the next few commits?
Well, the old crystal ball. You know, there are six announcements that we know are coming right now. And if you look at those six guys, I think every one of them could end up being a Buckeye. But on the other hand, it's not out of the question. Every one of them could go elsewhere. Where I think that's going to land is probably somewhere in between, that Ohio State's not getting all of them and they're not missing on all of them. So I would say that, and that doesn't include someone like a Dylan Stewart, for instance, that we don't know when he's going to announce right now. But, you know, the six announcements coming up, you've got Jaden Jackson, the defensive lineman from Florida. He is announcing on Thursday. And I think that one's going to probably come down to Ohio State or Texas. That's not certain right now, but I think it will, as I see it right now, and again, we're a couple days out here, I think his decision will come down to Ohio State or Texas. And again, that decision is on Thursday. So that's one possibility. You've got Edwin Spielman, the linebacker from Tennessee. He is announcing on July 21st. And even though a lot of people think that is a given for Tennessee, I was told yesterday that he has really been thinking long and hard between Ohio State and Tennessee. It's between the two. And that I was told, don't be shocked if he ends up picking Ohio State. And again, I'm not crystal balling him to Ohio State, but I was told not to be shocked that Ohio State is absolutely a player in that battle. And as one person told me, that if Edwin Spielman did not have a brother that signed with Tennessee last year, that they thought he would probably be going to Ohio State. But with that brother, and he and his brother are close at Tennessee, it's going to make it tougher for Ohio State. So that's for July 21st. You've got Corian Gibson, the defensive back, who is going to announce on July 22nd. Right now, that one is Clemson, Ohio State, and maybe Texas. But it's close. You know, I think Clemson has the edge right now, but that one's close. Ohio State is not out of the picture on that one. You've got July 23rd. You've got linebacker Kingston Viamahu Asa. That's Ohio State, USC, or Notre Dame. I continue to still give maybe Ohio State a slight edge, but that one could definitely go a different way. He could go, I think USC would probably be the second choice, but Notre Dame wouldn't shock me there either. Mark mentioned Aaron Scott. That's Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon. Really, I think it's Ohio State, Michigan, those two. I like Ohio State there, but he's announcing on July 30th. And then you've got K.J. Bolden, the tremendous athlete from Georgia. He's announcing on August 5th. And that one, that's a tough one. You know, I think it's Ohio State or Georgia. Ohio State is absolutely in the running there. So you know, you look at those decisions and – I think the next commitment will come from one of those guys. And I think Ohio State is going to get at least one or two of them, if not more. And I don't even mention Brandon Baker, the offensive lineman from California. As was said to me a few days ago, Brandon Baker doesn't have an announcement date yet. But as they said, you know, he is an unpredictable young man. He could just all of a sudden do a Justin Scott and decide I'm ready to commit. So we'll see.
Great stuff there from Bill Curlick. People are going to want to rewind that part of the show and just listen to it again. A few more questions. We'll get you guys out of here. We'll go to Mark on this one. We got a few questions from Man on the Moon. We're going to focus on his questions about Dorian Brew, the number one player in the state of Ohio in the 2025 class, a young man that's going to be entering his junior season this year at Northmont in the Dayton area. All right, Mark Porter, does Dorian Brew have a higher ceiling than Bryce West or Aaron Scott?
Boy, that was the thought that keeps going through my mind is, do I possibly say that, hey, Dorian Brew is like those two, but he's a little bit taller and a little bit longer. Does that make him better? Not necessarily, but he has some traits that really give him that elite upside. You don't really find corners like Scott and West that are over 6 foot or have that, you know, safety thickness to them in the legs. You see a lot of guys at corner that are, I don't want to use the word frail, but they're lightweights. They're flyweights that can run around and fly. So when you find bigger guys that can fly, that's the home run. Those are the NFL guys that eventually make it. The 200-pound corners that run 4.4, that's the elite skill set. And that's where Dorian Brew is going to be, you know, seen as. He's a bigger, thicker kid, and he runs and he turns his hips, and he's not afraid to use those long arms. And then that's the other thing. When you're longer, that press man-to-man is much easier when you have the longer levers to get a shot on somebody at the line, and then you have the ability to turn and run with them. So corners like this have high value because they can do multiple things very well. Let's just put him in the same ballpark right now. You know, he's not in a different ballpark, but boy, I don't want to get the cart in front of the horse. Dorian Brew is just going to be a great-looking prospect. And defensively, if he stays on that side of the ball, he's got a frame and talent that you don't often see. Most kids like that stay at receiver. You know, the receiver gods, you know, say, hey, look at all the balls you're going to catch and touchdowns, and they don't leave that fame to go play defense. But this kid may be a star on defense.
I'm loving all of these top-rated corners from right here in the Buckeye State. Absolutely love it. All right, Bill Curlick, Man on the Moon, wants to know, why does Brew have an early crystal ball in for Notre Dame? Not from you, obviously, but from another analyst. Why is there some Notre Dame smoke here, Bill?
Well, first of all, Man on the Moon, one of my a great poster and one of my favorite posters. So I got to give kudos to Man on the Moon. I think he is an outstanding poster on our site. So as far as the question, that crystal ball, if I'm pretty sure I'm accurate on this, is from a Notre Dame insider. And Dorian has long liked Notre Dame. There's no question about that. He's mentioned them since very first time I've talked to him, and he's been there, you know, multiple times, and he's just always had Notre Dame as a top school, and I think that's where that's coming from. I think I've said for a while his decision will come down to, in my opinion, likely Notre Dame or Ohio State. And again, you know, he is an Ohio State legacy, but he also has a strong affinity for Notre Dame. And I think that's where that came from.
All right. Next question is from B22. This is to you, Bill. Bill, what are your thoughts on KVA? Obviously the linebacker from California. Do you think the Buckeyes should be confident in landing KVA or not so much?
Again, that's, you know, we talked about Kingston, or I did a few minutes ago, and tremendous player. That's one of my thoughts. I mean, he was the very first player that Ohio State offered a scholarship to in the entire class of 2024. So that tells you a little bit about what Ohio State thinks of him. Ohio State is recruiting him as an outside linebacker, possibly even a jack type guy. Line him up. He can drop into coverage. He can rush the passer. You know, he can stuff the run. He can do it all. I mean, he's tremendous. And he's been to Ohio State multiple times on his own dime, all the way from California. USC is working really hard to keep him at home. And Notre Dame, you know, he's from St. John Bosco, so he's got the Catholic school background. So it is a tremendous battle in all three schools. And interesting, James Laurinaitis was recruiting him for Notre Dame, and now he's recruiting him for Ohio State. Again, I give the very slight edge to Ohio State. But even those that know Kingston best out on the West Coast, they don't know what he's going to do for sure right now.
Does Wyatt Davis being an alum of that high school help at all, you think?
I don't really think so too much. You know, that's been a number of years. And right. As far as I know, they're not close friends or anything like that. But, you know, any little thing I always say in recruiting can help you. And, you know, maybe that helps a little bit because Wyatt Davis, obviously, same school and did a nice job at Ohio State.
All right, final question on the show. We'll start with Mark, and then we'll get Bill's thoughts, and we'll get you guys out of here. This is from Bass1, B-A-S-1. He says, wondering if either Bill or Mark has ever interviewed or spoken with a recruit who was not impressed when visiting Ohio State, either for an official visit or a camp. I like that question, Mark, because it's like we always read these kids are like, oh, I had a great time on my visit. I don't recall. I'm sure it's happened. I don't recall reading a story where a kid was like, yeah, it was awful. The facilities were terrible. The coaches were jerks. I hated all the players. But have you guys ever interviewed or spoken to a recruit that was not impressed when he visited Ohio State?
Boy, there was a photo put on Instagram after a game this year that I thought was close to that by a group that visited, and they took a picture after the game, and it wasn't positive towards Ohio State. That's the first time I've ever really seen anything like that, because you're right. I think Ohio State and places like Alabama, Georgia, they're like casinos. They're made of gold. They just show off all the money they've taken in from everybody else, and all the, you know, the spoils go to the victors. It's like you see those buildings and you see the spoils and what they have and what they can do for you. I don't know how you walk away from there, even if you're not a fan, even if an Ohio State, one of us walked through Michigan's facilities, we'd say that's pretty nice stuff up there. You know, you don't have to like it. You don't have to, but you I think there's a respect, you know, but I did see someone, I guess, not respect the Ohio State stuff earlier this year. I'm not going to call them out or anything, but yeah, it's hard to do. It's hard to go from casino to casino in Vegas and be like, wow, this one's really not that nice. Like, They're all really over the top nice. So, you know, you go to a MAC school and then compare to Ohio State, and you know, so and the MAC schools have come generations in the last 10 years with their facilities and the things they're doing. So even those facilities, kids walk off those campuses and go, "Wow, that's really, you know, nice stuff they have there." I didn't expect Miami of Ohio or OU to be that nice or whatever it may be. So it's just not something recruits do.
Bill, you talk to more recruits maybe than anybody in this world, and I'm not exaggerating. Has any recruit ever told you after the visit, wasn't very impressed?
Let me start by saying leave it to the grand poobah to bring in Las Vegas and gambling into our Tuesday morning podcast.
Great analogy. Well, it was a great analogy.
Yes, well done. Well done. But, I'm going to go back to – the days when I started in this business and I had a tablet and a chisel and I wrote my issues on a, you know, that way. So Ron Dayne, running back from New Jersey.
Okay.
A pretty darn good running back.
Yeah.
He did not like Ohio State, his visit there. And he wasn't he did not have a great time. And maybe that's a good thing that I have to go back to the Stone Age to find a guy that was like that.
Mid-90s, right? Because he was a freshman at Wisconsin in 96. Ended up winning the Heisman, right? So that had to be like 95.
Yeah, and that was about the beginning of when I started this business and all this gray hair started appearing. But, he did not have a great visit to Ohio State, and he kind of said so. But again, like Mark said, you go to somewhere Ohio State, how can you not be impressed? I mean, they've got everything you could possibly want, and they do a fantastic job of getting kids on, you know, they wow kids. They do a fantastic job, Mark Piantoni and his staff. But I will say that you can kind of read between the lines when you talk to recruits. They may say, you know, some of the right things about this school or that school, but a lot of times you can read between the lines, the way they said it and the inflection of their voice, all that kind of thing is to get a good feel for, you know, what they think about the visit. So they could be complimentary, but you come away from the interview thinking, I'm not sure this kid is going to go to Ohio State, or this kid's a lot, you know, he's going to Ohio State for sure. You know, you do sometimes come away with that feeling.
You know, as Bill's talking, I have another thought. Like, what would make you not like Ohio State? Like, it wouldn't be the facilities. It wouldn't be that part of it. And here's what it would be, is maybe the position coach, while you're there, spends more time with another guy at your position and shows them a little more love. Maybe, like, when things break up for the night or something, that recruit gets to go with Ryan Day for a, you know, a special 20-minute or 30, and you get to go back to the hotel by yourself. And those type of things start to say to you, you know what, they don't love me as much as, you know, they should. Or, you know, you have that type of player who's like, man, I see the red carpet you're rolling out for so-and-so, but it's not that red for me. You know, so I think Bill maybe will sense those things where, yeah, I went there, it's great, but I sense I'm like five on their board, or maybe I have an offer, but it just doesn't feel like they're recruiting me. So that would be something. I can't ever think it would be the facilities or, you know, what it's like to play there on a game day.
Great insights, as always, from Bill Curlick and Mark Porter. Really appreciate it, gentlemen. As we've been saying, if you're watching on YouTube, you like the show, please subscribe. Really helps us out. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Thanks again to Bill. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.